So welcome, everybody. How about we open this time just in prayer, and then we have a lot to talk about and not a ton of time to do it, so I want to make sure we use our time well. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity today to present on this ministry that I know has become dear to my heart as well as many others in this room. Lord, thank you even for in this room for the experience that we've had, as there are some here who have run chapters in Colorado as well as Illinois. And Lord, we know that the college campus is an incredible mission field. And so we pray that you, as the Lord of the harvest, would send forth laborers into this harvest. And for those laborers, we pray that you give them wisdom and boldness and clarity in sharing the word in a place that is a very dark place. Allow them to shine as lights in the midst of darkness. And so, Lord, I pray that during our time today that you'd help for our conversation to be honoring to you. I pray that the presentation of this ministry will be accurate and helpful. And I pray, Lord, that you will allow us more and more opportunities to share the gospel with students on both secular and even sometimes quasi-religious campuses, in order that the gospel might go forward and your church will see more saved and discipled who also can be sent out for your glory. Lord, we love you and pray us in your name. Amen. So let me give some introductions. I'll be one of them. I'll introduce myself first. So my name is Andy Montgomery, for those of you who I haven't had the chance to meet before. I grew up in New Hampshire, went to school in Wisconsin, and I've been here at Colonial for the past 5 years. So Pastor Phelps was my pastor in New Hampshire, and I asked to intern here. And didn't ever dream of being on staff with him, so it's a real joy to be mentored by the pastor that also, in a sense, was my raising pastor from second grade on. My first year here at Colonia, I was here as a year-long intern, and during the process of that, I got to work with our Cross Impact Campus Ministry down at IUPUI. IUPUI stands for Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. Very confusing title, but IUPUI is the title there, and so it's basically a combination of IU and Purdue. They have the medical side of IU, they have the engineering side of Purdue. It's a unique campus, and it's right in the thick of downtown Indianapolis. So I had the chance to serve there for my first year, and it just blew me away. The opportunities that were there, the pure joy it was to minister to the students. And so the Lord burdened my heart for Cross Impact then. And then when I came on staff the following year, I was hired as children's pastor, which doesn't really fit with a college campus ministry, but I asked if I could keep it anyways, and Pastor Phelps was kind enough to say yes. And so I've been trying to handle both of those responsibilities as we've gone through. That's just a little bit of introduction with me. I'll tell you some more stories about my time and experience later that hopefully will be helpful to you. But some other names by way of introduction. By the way, I don't have my clicker today because Dr. Hartman really wanted it. He really wanted the laser pointer. So I decided we can survive without it and he can use it. So our president was here up till this morning. His name is Pastor Will Senn. Many of you know him already. He's a senior pastor at Tri-City Baptist Church in Westminster, Colorado. And so he was the one who really had the burden to start this. He literally wrote the book on it. And he flew out this morning. Just for fun, though, here's a good picture of him. This was taken last night. This is what it's like to recruit for Cross Impact. Obviously, I'm kidding. He asked for a very normal rental car, and they said, your very normal rental car is not here, but here's a screaming Mustang that you can drive around. And so it makes us look much more lucrative than we actually are. So that was Pastor Senn last night, and that's our president. So you want to be a part of Cross Impact. This is where it leads. So, not really, okay. And then Keith Huda is our director, and he's here with us today. He was a missionary for many years in Mexico, where he led a Bible Institute. And even now, he's wearing two hats because he's the director of Cross Impact, while at the same time, he's orchestrating three different Spanish churches through food banks in the Denver area that are going very well. If you want to hear more exciting stories, ask him about that afterwards, because there's some really wonderful things to rejoice in. But he's been our director for the past, is it year and a half, Keith, I believe? For about the past year and a half, he's been our director, and he has brought an emphasis of prayer, which I believe you just heard a message about. I was getting set up down here.
I'm disappointed he doesn't have a Mustang.
I know. That's literally one of our preschool rooms, actually, full disclosure, down the hallway. So, but he is our director. Ryan Gunther's in the room with us. He runs our chapter at Ball State University. And then Rodney King is thinking about it, and many of you also are thinking about it. And there's a few others, even in our Indianapolis area. My wife Audrey's with us today, too. Drew Huda is our director's son, and he has been actively involved. In fact, probably a lot of the video production you'll see coming from Cross Impact in the future likely will have Drew's hand in it. And he is actually leading some Bible studies even now on a campus right near their church in Colorado. So we have a lot of people scattered abroad. Many of you might be wondering why we have a phone up in the front. We're streaming this for any of our other chapters who can't come to Indy today. And we have a few different ones, and I'll tell you about those in just a minute. But before we do, I want us to get into just some biblical reasons why I think that this is such an important ministry. I love watching Paul, and any of you who have studied his life before have seen how he very strategically moved from place to place. He obviously was open to the leading of the Lord whenever he told him to go somewhere, but Paul definitely was looking for the next frontier. He always was. So at one point, these are very simple points here as we get started, but Paul, first of all, really wanted to go to Asia. So in Acts 16, verse 6, it says, Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So he wanted to go there, and yet the Lord forbid him from going there. He did want to get to Rome, and the Lord clearly led him there. So later on in chapter 19, which I'm going to open up to here, in chapter 19 and verse 21, he said the following. He said, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. I love how strongly he phrased that. I must also see Rome. And it was so worth it to him that he was even willing to appeal to go that way by a prison ship. But he knew that getting to Rome was vitally important for the sharing of the gospel. And so he wanted to get there. We even find out that he wanted to get to Spain. And that actually comes in the book of Romans in verse 15. For most of you pastors, this is not something that's a surprise to you. But I love looking at his strategy. So in Romans 15, verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I might be filled somewhat with your company. So even then, he was aiming to go to Spain. Paul always had in his mind the next mission field. And obviously, especially as we saw with his case when he wanted to go to Asia, he was open to whatever the Lord had for him. Now, Pastor Sen, in his book, which actually I have right here, which is called Taking the Cross of Christ to the Campus, he wrote this in his doctoral work put out by BJU Press. He actually speaks even more strategically about an area that Paul went, and that was the School of Tyrannus. In fact, Pastor Sen goes so far in his book as to call it TU, Tyrannus University. The passage in Acts 19 has some interesting insights for us as we begin today. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, which that was Paul's practice. As all of you know, he normally went to the synagogue first. But he continues, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that which was before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, to be honest, there's a lot about the school of Tyrannus that we don't know. But very simply, one thing we do know is it was a center of education. So Paul started in the place where a lot of the education would have started in the city, with the synagogue. And when persecution came and it was time to clear out of there, he ends up in the school of Tyrannus. And it might be, in a low-key way, one of the most strategic places Paul ever went. It very likely would have felt like a university setting. We don't know everything about it. We don't know if Tyrannus was the one who funded this. We don't know if he was the main teacher of the school. We're not exactly sure about all those details, but what we do know is that Paul had an effective 2 years there while he was in the city of Ephesus, because it says in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Paul wanted to go to Asia, and he wasn't able to go. But he was able to reach Asia through what he did there in Ephesus. And so God used that ministry very strategically. And as Pastor Sen talks about in his book, and I feel here as well, we believe that the secular college campus is one of those very strategic mission fields. As we've heard quite a few times this week, the mission field is coming to us. We have the opportunity to reach out. Even Matt Barfield is with us today, and I know that what he is working so hard on with Next Door Nations is to help churches reach the world that's right near them. And I was just even having some conversations with some of you beforehand. Pretty much any university you go to, you're probably going to find a high population of Chinese people who are there, as well as Indian students and also Arab students. A vast majority of universities have a pretty decent population of all three of those, coming from all over the world to the campus that might just be 15 minutes away from your church. It's incredibly strategic, as well as many other students that desperately need the gospel and need discipleship while they're in the midst of just a horrible environment. So the School of Tyrannus is an interesting case study as to what it would look like to start at a center of learning and see how the gospel can spread from there, even in a church planting type of strategy. So the college campus is a strategic mission field. This is actually a picture of our campus downtown at IPY. They have these things called gerbil tubes basically everywhere you go on campus because it's right in the thick of downtown. So sometimes in the winter, it's easier to walk through that than to walk outside in the rain or the snow or the sleet or all of it at the same time. So it's a strategic mission field. Just a couple statistics that are probably even now, I looked these up a few months ago, and probably even now are becoming more and more out of date. That's how statistics work. But the number of college students with no religious convictions has nearly tripled over the past really 10 years or so, as well as students who have attended religious services while in college has dropped 16%. So these are numbers that are rising, and then 29% of students have pretty much no religious affiliation. We are walking into a setting, it's not even quasi-Christian, this is fully secular environment. There are people who never even heard the Bible stories that a lot of believers have grown up being able to hear. These are people who are pretty much biblically illiterate a lot of the time. And so they have pretty much no association with church, no association with religion, and if they do, they're just experimenting, trying to figure out what's going to work. One of our students that I had experience with once in high school experimented with Sikhism, Buddhism, all kinds of different religions, even Islam, I believe she experimented with all of those before she came to IPY and ended up accepting Christ. But there are many different backgrounds that these students are coming from. And so as we continue here, we're going to see the college campus is a strategic mission field. Those were some statistical reasons why it is. Let me just give some practical reasons why. First of all, college students are in a time of transition. If any of you can think back to when you arrived on your campus as a freshman, whether that was a Christian college or secular, those are dramatically different times of your life. That is a huge life stage change. And any student that steps onto a university, any university, is in a dramatic change of their life. And with that comes a lot of independence. And with that, a lot of independence, they really end up searching for, what does my life really mean? And how can I invest my life in a meaningful way? Or how can I invest it in a way I want it to be invested in, now that authorities are not over my head? So college students are at a time of transition, and they are exploring and searching for meaning. One example of that is we did a Christian survey around our main building, the campus center building that I had up there for you earlier. We were walking around there, and so we tapped a couple shoulders and just asked people the question, if you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? And I remember this guy looked back at me eyeball to eyeball, fully transparent, and almost with a little bit of a sarcastic tone, and looks back at me and says, why am I here? And it was, he gave it so quickly, so immediately, that it was obvious that that was a question he had been dwelling on. And that is not an unusual story, especially if they've not been given any history in God's word, any understanding of who God is and how Jesus Christ came to save us. They look at this world around them and it's just a mess. And they want to know what place they even have in all of that. So they are exploring and searching for meaning, as well as they are thinking about their future impact on the world. One of the really exciting parts, and if you can turn this desire towards Christ, your church will be changed, is that there are a lot of these college students that desperately want to change the world. Right? When you look at the social justice around us and you see all of those things going on, we look at them and we go, oh, why are you fighting for that cause? But at the same time, they want a cause to fight for. And we can give them the best cause to fight for, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they see how relevant it is for their life, it'll be hard to stop it. And it's one of the most joyful parts of having ministry on a college campus when you see that light turn on in the heart of a student. And they will become some of your best officers, and then they'll become part of the church. And if they have to move on, then they become a part of another church. And we just have a wonderful opportunity to really see some called, maybe even into ministry, but if not that, then to at the very least be a very faithful part of their church family, wherever the Lord brings them in the future. We have the opportunity to make that big of an impact on a student's life in 3 to 4 years on a secular campus. I want to give you just a couple testimonies. This first one actually comes from Ryan's chapter at Ball State. This is Casey. She lived, I think, probably a little bit south of Indianapolis, but she went up to Ball State, which is about an hour away. And she says, I chose to move to Muncie to get far away from my small town where I felt as if everyone knew who I was and knew all of the mistakes that I had made. As she continued on, there was a Bible study on the campus of Ball State that she wanted to walk into and attend. She was nervous about doing it, but she decided, okay, I'll walk in. But before she walked in, without having God as her Savior, she prayed, God, I don't know if you're real, but please just don't let me be in here alone. She was so nervous when she walked into that room that that was her prayer to a God that she didn't know. And somebody right away, as far as I understand the story, Ryan could clarify more for you later probably, someone came up right away and introduced her and welcomed her in. And through that, she actually learned about Christ and was saved as a part of that Bible study. In fact, her wording was, I couldn't get enough of Jesus, and I just wanted to know everything about him. If you've ever seen that in the life of a new believer, that was where she was. But as time went along, as unfortunately is the case often with different campus ministries, and when I give these differences, it's not meant to disparage other ministries, but there wasn't a lot of depth there. And the further along that she went, the more that she desired, and the relationship started to fall stale. She wasn't feeling as pursued as she had been at the beginning. And she began wondering what she needed to do. And as far as I understand the story, she actually drove by Grace Baptist Church in Muncie and decided she was going to go attend with her boyfriend. And so they attended Grace in Muncie, found out they too had a campus ministry, which was Cross Impact. And so the way she describes it is, my nearly year-long experience of feeling distant from God and feeling as if no one was interested in having the patience to sit down and explain the Bible to me had finally come to an end. She desperately wanted to know her Bible, and those who were with her didn't have the depth or didn't take the time to explain it to her. And she found that when she was under Ryan's ministry at Ball State. And so she phrased this in the last part of her quote. She said, Cross Impact gave me a group that I could bring my questions, pain, and doubt to without fear of judgment. And so they just had a tremendous opportunity. And Ryan, as far as I know, she's still living for the Lord, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. So that's Casey. This is Kelvin. Kelvin is our current president at Cross Impact IUPUI. It'll be his first semester as president heading into this year. Kelvin grew up in upper-class Ghana. His dad is one of the leading architects in the capital. And he came from an Anglican background. And really his first... So he had a lot of... how do I put it? He had a peripheral understanding of religion and even of God and of Jesus Christ, but not a full understanding. And his freshman year, he really came to accept Christ as a Savior, we believe. And he was so excited to do that. Some of the ways he phrased his time so far at IPUI, he said, I wanted to take control of my life and destiny and not just go off where my family told me about God and that religious experience he had had. I felt, though, that I had no one to talk to. Well, we had an intern that year. His name is Daniel Phelps, pastor's son. And he invested in Kelvin's life a lot. And Kelvin ended up accepting Christ. And so now it's pretty exciting that he's our president this coming year. He's going into his junior year. And he said this about his experience so far. He says, I grew closer to God, and I'm still growing and learning through Cross Impact and in my own walk with God. And that's true. And we have the opportunity to meet multiple times a month and help Kelvin growing in his own personal walk. And I look forward to seeing the rest of his story, what God does in his life. This is Caitlin. Caitlin was in Colorado, and I'm just going to read some of her story to you as well. She said this, I had this feeling that God was out there, but not that God was in me. And what I found was that there was just a sense of discouragement and array of questions I had that nobody could answer. Well, actually, kind of similar to Casey's story, she was driving by Tri-City Baptist in Westminster, Colorado. And this is how she phrased it as she was driving by. And this is, if you can't tell, this is going to be a clear pulling of the Holy Spirit. I just felt this pull. And it was like anything that I had ever experienced. It was a physical feeling that I had to just go inside and see what it was about. So I went to the service and it changed my life. And so she wasn't saved in that service, but she found what she saw very attractive and kept coming, I believe, for months. And then they had an evangelist in town. And when that evangelist was preaching, it all clicked for her. And she asked Christ to be her Savior. She then became a part of a Cross Impact chapter that was hosted by Tri-City right there. And she gives us a helpful admonition in her own testimony. She says there is a real need in today's world to have more Cross Impact chapters and to have them as strong ministry organizations on college campuses, because often the Christian communities that are on campus are not always preaching the gospel. That was how she phrased, I love hearing it from their own wording, because because a lot of these students don't grow up with the Christian terminology that we are all so used to. So when they phrase it this way, they mean it. They're not just saying cliches. And that's what she really felt about these different groups. And I think she had experimented with quite a few of them while she was on campus and didn't find any answers in them until she learned about the real gospel of Jesus Christ. So those are a few stories. And then I know I have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to have to keep moving here. The next section starts at 3:20, right? Is that correct? Okay. We actually have more time than I think. I want to share a little bit of my own experience being a part of it. So like I told you, I started about 5 years ago with Cross Impact, and it's been a real joy. I saw so many of that first year. Now, as an intern, I was able to put a little bit more time into it than I can now. I was down there for probably 25, 30 hours a week on campus, spending time there. That's not necessarily always what it takes to keep it running, but since I had the time, I used it, and I was single. Audra wasn't around yet. So what was I going to do in the evening? So I went down to campus. it was a tremendous joy for me to be part of it. That first year, we really just took our officers seriously and started having meetings every week with them and discipling them. And our group that year grew from being about 5 or 6 to some of our biggest nights being 25, 26 students. And the Lord just kept sovereignly bringing students along. As the year went, I started with a series that I'm going to tell you about in a little bit that one of our other chapters wrote. And during the course of that time, I started realizing all these students kept coming up to me with their Bibles in hand and saying, "Hey, I've been reading in Isaiah, and I don't know how to phrase this." It feels like the Ethiopian eunuch, right? It's like, I literally remember this conversation. I'm reading this section of Isaiah I can't understand. I'm reading this part of my Bible, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And like, they just kept coming with more and more and more of those kinds of questions. And so eventually, we ended up going through a series of how do you study your Bible? And they just ate that up. And all of a sudden, by the end of that year, we had 10 to 11 students who were just feverishly studying their Bibles and just parsing every word and seeking to understand and grow. And that was a tremendous joy. Years after that, as you often will find out with campus ministry, turnover happens a lot. Okay, people transfer. They decide they're done with college. They graduate. There's a lot of that. And so the second year I was a part of it, we lost probably 3/4 of those who we invested in the previous year. One or two decided to go the way of the world, like a Demas. Some of the others just graduated. Others transferred. You know, so you always have a level of turnover, but we ended up having an especially high level of that. But I've still found every year it's been a tremendous joy to invest in the officers. And the kind of students we've ended up attracting, we're never going to have the crazy lights up in front of the room. We're never going to be the most exciting or cool looking or any of that. And that's okay. But the students that we've found that we've had the chance to connect with are either those who are really hungry spiritually and want to know the gospel and often accept Christ as a result of that search, or are those who are serious about studying their Bibles. And so we've seen really a strong emphasis evangelistically as well as discipleship-wise. Two examples that come off the top of my head that I want to share. One, this past year was in the midst of COVID. I mean, we came into the year with 2 officers. Normally we come in with 4. We came in with 2 officers, and we didn't really know what the Lord was going to do. We just started meeting outside. We weren't big enough to make a blip on the radar, so the school wasn't going to be upset with us for meeting. And then 1 week, we had our baby with us, our little 1-year-old Ava. She wasn't even 1 at that point. And this girl walked up and said, "Oh, you know, baby, boop, doop, doop," and then ran away. And it was like, "Does anyone know who she was?" And it was like, "No." And so, okay. A few weeks later, she came back and ended up, saw our baby again, played cornhole with us. And then we invited her to the Bible study and she came. And we were talking about the purpose of that God has given for our emotions and how we're supposed to handle them according to God's word. And she was immediately in love with the group and with the biblical teaching. One of the reasons was her brother had committed suicide in the past year. And she connected with our group every week after that. She was already a believer, but really desired God's word. And she wanted it so feverishly. It's kind of interesting. When you're discipling a lot of these students on a secular campus, you're going to realize that there's some wacky beliefs, that there are some things you're like, "Oh, man, we're going to have to work on that someday." But if they come desiring the word of God, the Lord takes all that out in the wash. And that's exactly how it goes. And so Lauren ended up becoming a part of our group every week and then randomly calls Audra and I one Wednesday night and says, "What time did the singles meet at your church on Wednesdays?" It's like, "Oh, it means this time." So she came, and she's come every week since. And then this year she's going to be one of our officers. Somehow we came out of the COVID. We went into the COVID year with 2 officers, and we came out with 4. And I don't even know how that happened, other than that the Lord would just do that. and preparing us for what's probably going to be a really big year of recruiting, because a lot of students didn't connect last year either, so it's double the recruiting this year. Those are some of the stories. So one of the others, which is a great story, our singles pastor here, his name is Ben Hicks. His wife, Brittany, when I first came, was our vice president, and she really bought into discipling the other girls in the group when I first came. And so she went really, really detailed into discipleship with girls and loved it. And so there was one girl who was a little bit on the fringe, and she brought her under her wing and discipled her like crazy. And then the next year after Brittany graduated, that girl was the vice president. And that girl knew how Brittany discipled her, took another girl alongside, discipled her, brought her under her wing. And the next year, that girl was president of the group. And that's how we've seen the Lord continue these things, that when one is taught to disciple, they disciple another, and they disciple another. And the way that Brittany herself would phrase it to you now is, I might not be a pastor's wife right now if it wasn't for my years in Cross Impact. She even was just sharing that testimony with some last night. So those are the kind of opportunities that are around. And we could even go in history and talk about many others who've been saved on a secular campus. Our founder, Pastor Sen, was saved on a secular campus. One time when we were speaking for the FBF, and I had the chance to share on this, we had just heard John Whitcomb speaking in the auditorium, and he was saved on a secular campus. So you just never know what the Lord is going to do with these students who are here. And sometimes we look back and we disparage and we think our Christian colleges don't have as many students, our churches don't have as many young adults. Where could they come from? And I think this is a part of that solution. I think if we were to give this outreach to the secular campus near us, we would be blown away by the opportunities the Lord's given us. And I've been grateful to see that, even with not being able to put as much time as I want to into our chapter as I balance responsibilities, the Lord has still worked in spite of that. And it's been really a wonderful joy to see that. So, a couple questions here. First of all, why Cross Impact? Because obviously there's a lot of other groups that have been around for a while, right? You've probably heard of many of them that have been around for years. So why should we encourage churches, especially in our circles, to connect with us? Why not send them to groups that are already existing? Well, let me give a couple reasons, and I've seen these both by philosophy and now by example. We're connected to the local church. And it's really important for a couple reasons. One, it gives doctrinal grounding. So I know most of the other guys who run Bible studies on my campus, and there are some wonderful guys for the other groups that run their Bible studies. And they attend their local church, and there are some godly men who do that. I have differences with them, but a lot of them are godly men. But then you look at the same organizations and you take them to another campus. So I heard a situation in West Virginia with one of these where they partnered with a Catholic organization for an outreach. And so it varies so greatly depending on who your leader is. But when you are when a campus Bible study is connected to a local church, that gives it doctrinal grounding. And I think that's really important. But not only that, if we've told our students this time and time and time again, if you connect with our Bible study while you're on campus for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, if you're a super senior, if you connect with our Bible study for that amount of time while you're on our campus, that's great, and I'm so glad you were blessed by this. But if we don't teach you to be a part of a local church, we don't encourage you to be connected to a local church, and then you leave here, we failed you, because your spiritual community goes away like that the second that diploma is handed to you. And that is a vitally important part. I would much rather have them come to our church on a Sunday and Wednesday night basis than to come to our campus Bible study and never learn to connect with the church. And that's one of the reasons, and as simple as that might seem to us, that's not a normal model for campus ministry. A vast majority of them are completely parachurch. And so a lot of them struggle with that connection. And some of them have even tried to compensate for it in their mission statements and say, church is important. But without really requiring a chapter to be connected to a church, they can't fix that model. And that's why we love this model of it. Another reason why you'd want to partner with Cross Impact is really this reason of studying the Bible in depth. One of our students, I love this. This is one of my favorite stories. The girl I told you about earlier who had dabbled in all kinds of religions before she came to IPUI, she was the one who came up to me with that passage in Isaiah. What I did not know was that she was actually trying to disprove Christianity for her first semester, and she was a part of our organization as well as a charismatic organization at the same time. And so we were gracious with it. Like I said, if someone desires the word, the rest of that stuff's going to come out in the wash eventually. And about 2 years in, she was one of our officers. She got saved her second semester of her freshman year. And during her time as an officer, she told me, yeah, I'm done attending that other Bible study I was like, oh, okay, well, what happened? She's like, well, they do a pretty good job of bringing people in and telling them about the gospel. She's like, but they don't disciple you. And again, this is Christian terminology for someone who didn't grow up in it. And so she loved staying in our group because she knew that she was going to get God's word in depth. She knew she was going to grow there. And that was a huge, that was one of those really cool moments to remember. And then we encourage students to live a life of personal holiness. We don't usually phrase it this way, but I don't know of a better setting for me to be able to say this clearly. One of the other reasons why you should partner with Cross Impact is we're one of the only ones in fundamentalism. We're a fundamentalist Bible study. We're thankful for that. I'm thankful for those who invested in my life growing up within fundamentalism, and I believe that we have something to offer. I think encouraging that life of personal holiness is important, and that always ends up being a part of our study. Now, again, that stuff doesn't happen all at once, but I believe the more that we emphasize studying the Bible in depth, the more that the way that God wants us to live is shown. And then they come to your church and they see it modeled by your people, and they're invited into homes from your church family, and they see that hospitality, and they see what a Christian family looks like. We can encourage them towards personal holiness. So because we're connected to a local church, because we want to study the Bible in depth, I believe that that holy life is an easy follow from those two. Maybe not an easy follow, but I think you understand what I mean. Logically, it works together. What can Cross Impact provide? And this is something that we've been working on this past year. I've really been thankful for Pastor Huda's emphasis over the past year. He started not with any administrative things, not with any, although he did those things behind the scenes, but he really started by encouraging all of us to drop to our knees and we pray. So there's been monthly prayer meetings. In fact, I know he's running one even later this afternoon. Monthly prayer meetings for it, and probably even more frequent prayer, I bet, behind closed doors in his own prayer closet. And it's encouraged me to be praying that way. And as we've done so, the Lord has really brought a lot to help us. But what are some things that Cross Impact as a national organization can give you? Because this year has been a little bit of a year of rebuilding. We've been looking forward to this event because we thought this would be a time when we're going to relaunch. And the Lord has been answering prayer. So we started by, really, it'll be a prayer partner for you in your campus ministry. We will promise you that if you decide to start, if the Lord leads you to start a ministry on your secular campus, we will be on our knees with you, praying throughout that whole process. We've been praying for many of these different doors to open. It's been pretty neat, actually. It's kind of exciting to announce. Well, I'll announce in a second. I get so excited I get ahead of myself. Well, hold on. All right, but the Lord's been answering prayers, okay? And we promise that we'll pray with you. We also will provide some Bible studies written and used by Cross Impact Partners. So these are two Bible studies that we just released. One is called Truth or Myth, and the other is The Search for Meaning. So one of the things that I know has been hardest for pastors when we've suggested, hey, you should start a ministry on your campus. They're like, what do I have to do to get there? So we walk through those steps. Okay, but what do I talk to them about? Like, what kind of study works on a secular campus? Well, we want to help by giving you these two. I can tell you from personal experience that I did Truth or Myth my first time, and I was fresh out of seminary. And so Truth or Myth was the first series I used, and after I used that, the Lord helped me understand what was needed on the campus and then helped me discern what my group needed next, which ended up being how to study your Bible. We have these two studies already ready and offered in a setting that I'll talk about in just a moment, but they are available for any of our chapters to use and start. So those are two. One of them is an eight-week, actually I believe both of them are eight-week studies that can be used, and they're a great study right for the beginning of the year. So what do you talk about? We have these, and there are more coming. That study I told you about how to study your Bible, we almost have it done. It's pretty close. And so that'll be available soon as well, how to study your Bible better. It really adapts Howard Hendricks' Living by the Book and Duvall and Hayes' Grasping God's Word and takes many of those principles and puts them together and gives opportunities to practice it. So anyways, so that's another thing that Cross Impact National is hoping to provide. And honestly, we have a lot more in the hopper. It's just a matter of reformatting them and getting them into your hands. A network of other campus ministries to help and encourage you, as well as graphics to use for your chapter. So let me show you some of those. And this is really helpful, by the way, to have others to network with. That's been an encouragement to me. We had a time where some of our campus leaders met together in Colorado, and I remember one of the students, one of the other guys leading Bible study said, sometimes it is hard to think of all the people that you've lost or all the people who have come and gone very quickly. It's like, but one of the things I do is I step back and I look at all the different students whose lives I had the chance to impact, those who were saved, those who were discipled. It's like, and that encourages me. And I thought about that. It's like, wow. Because turnover happens so much, you forget how many of these students you have the chance to impact. It happens quick, but it's wonderful. So we have a lot of different chapters. There's Cross Impact Clemson. That was the founding chapter that Pastor Sen started. There's also Ball State, which is Ryan. There is, as well as IUPUI, that's our chapter. There's West Virginia University, Winthrop University, which is run by Marshall Fant IV, and he's actually equipping some people from his church to pick up the mantle and take on that chapter there. As well as, we're really excited about this, as of yesterday, we added Cross Impact U of Indy, University of Indianapolis, which is just on the south side. Their church is in the process of chartering onto that campus. So be in prayer for them. They have a student who's going there, and they have a strong young adults group at their church, and they want to extend onto that campus. So that's one that's coming, that's just been added. And call me premature a little bit, but there's one that's almost added. And this is at Furman University. There's a group of young adults at Faith and Taylor's, South Carolina, that are already praying actively and actually going onto campus even this summer to play basically volleyball and stuff like that on campus, meet some students before the school year even starts. And so they're doing all the right things to get going down there. So they're not officially a chapter yet, but it was exciting to put them up there because they are really close. And on top of that, honestly, there's the Lord's kind of blown us away. I believe that emphasis on prayer has shown itself in answered prayer. And there are quite a few others that are in the works. I know that Rodney's hoping to get on to Findlay. That's when we have to pray over, because that is a quasi-religious campus and they are pretty closed. But if God wants that door open, it's going to open. And he'll provide the people to help run it. As well as some of you even in the room who have told us of your desire and opportunities. We actually, this is pretty cool too. We have a group of students, so from our church, that have gone up to Purdue, which is about maybe an hour, not quite an hour away. And there's a new senior pastor up there who's coming on, who was an administrator at a Christian school. And some of the students from that Christian school are also at Purdue. So we have students from our church, students from his school, all up at Purdue right now. I know that we have a student who'd be willing to be the president right now. And they already have a faculty advisor. Pretty much everything is there for a church just to say, thank you, and take it. That's pretty much a gift-wrapped opportunity. And there's things like that that the Lord has been doing all year long. So these are examples of some of the graphics for each of the... We like the idea of being able to customize a logo for a chapter. We use school colors, but not school logos. Because school logos have copyright law. Colors do not. So we're careful. Don't worry. But if a chapter ever wants to use the school logo, then we have a form that they can send to the university to ask permission to use it. But for now, this is how we're doing it. A couple other things that we provide... visits from Cross Impact National Representatives. Whoops, that went away quick. But that would be either Keith or me or Ryan or maybe some of our other chapters. We could ask someone from our West Virginia chapter to go, or someone from South Carolina in those areas to go. We have a lot of people that we could send out to just visit the campus with you and see how we can be of help to you. Something else we're offering, and this is something we've been working on all year, and it's a Google Drive. And if you haven't used Google Drive before, I'm going to show it to you in just a second. But what it is basically an online place for you to administrate your chapter and trying to make it as easy as possible for you. So those Bible studies I just mentioned are uploaded in that drive. Your logos for your chapter and Cross Impact National will be in the drive. A sample constitution, because you'll need that to charter on a campus, is in there. And by the way, the sample constitution that Pastor Sen wrote was really wise, because it makes a difference between what membership is and what participation is. Because the school will often ask you to include their anti-discrimination policy in your constitution, and that gets tricky. And so instead of putting it under the membership category, you put it under the participation section, because you want anyone and everyone to come to your Bible study. That's, we're hoping to reach the lost. But you do not want them to be members, because members are the ones who can be your leaders. And so you don't want to be in a tricky situation there. So the constitution is well written, because you can take this sample one and adapt it. And if your campus asks for some kind of inclusion statement like that, sure, under participation, but not under membership. So that's included in the drive, as well as a lot of other details that I'll show you in just a second. So those are some of the things we seek to offer, and we're hoping to offer even more. Now, actually, from there, I'm going to show you that Google Drive just briefly. I don't want to bore you with it, but it is helpful just to get an idea. And actually, after this week is done, I'm excited to announce that these are finally ready. And so we are going to be sending these to the different chapter leaders already. Rodney, I already have one made for you too, but you're not quite ready yet. But if you want, I can give it to you. So if you ever used Google Drive before, you go to the shared drive feature. And so let's say you can see that Ball State's right there. So I'm going to click on Ball State. So this is Ryan's. So Ryan, I'm going to be messing with your stuff, right? And so in there, there's a couple things. There's a video that actually instructs you on everything that's in there. That way, you can understand a little bit of it, what it is, because sometimes you can open it up and you go you look at all these files. It's like, this is basically an online filing cabinet, right? Like if you pull out a filing cabinet and there's 100 files in there, you think, where do I start? So the video is meant to help with that a little bit. So there's agendas. We use those a lot for officer meetings. If you've ever been a part of a meeting, that lingers on because you just don't tackle the details quickly enough. We have an agenda that could be used, agenda template that might be helpful to you to help see, what do I talk about with my officers? How do I train them? What should I focus them on? And so it gives some ideas of how to do follow-up and things along those lines in a meeting and how to do that. The Bible studies have access to them right here. So we talked about truth or myth a second ago, and that would be available right here in this file. So we will also eventually have some PowerPoints there ready for you, but you can print those off and carry them with you, and you'll be ready. There's even a template that you could use if you write your own study, but you want it to look nice. We have a template there for that as well. So that's a few of the main things. There's some administrative documents, like a spot, for instance, where you could have one president write out everything they've done in order to pass it on to the next president. There's things like that in here that could be helpful. There are the graphics, so you would find national and state graphics there. And some promotional opportunities. If we might occasionally drop something in and say, hey, you could use this on your social media page, you could use that. And then training notes. And this document right here I find to be an important one because this is a training manual. When I first started at IAPUI, I read through this manual, and it gave me a lot of what I needed to know. I would even suggest if you have officers that you can actually highlight a couple of the articles and say, before the school year starts, read these articles. Just to refresh yourself on what our goal is and what we're doing here. Many of these were written by Pastor Sen and adapted from his book. A few others were written by other campus leaders. So those are all there and available to help you. And there's some other training manuals as well, some for officers as well in that file. I meant to tell you also, in administration right here, there is a directory. And you can use this to keep track of all the students. You'll have promo tables, one after another after another. You might have one big event where you meet a bunch of students and you're trying to keep track of them. And so this would be a database basically to help you keep track. So all of these are things that we are excited about and are glad to offer to you if you join as a chapter to help you out. So let me get our PowerPoint back up for us. And then I'll close this out, and then we'll have a couple minutes for questions. So I think perfect. We're doing great on time. So let me finish this off then by going to these last two screens. All right. So at the end of any discussion like this, you get to the point where we sit there and look at each other and say, what now? So what do I do now? We wrote one pamphlet to help with that, and I have it right up here. No, I don't. I grabbed two of the same. No, here it is. It's called Cross Impact First Steps, and I just want to give you some of the basic steps that are in there in this document, in this presentation today. So the first step is pray. Pray. And one of the things I was really excited to hear about with that Furman chapter is that the very first thing they did is they set up weekly prayer meetings. And that is the exact right place to start. And Lord willing, we'll be doing that before, during, and after. Right? That should be at the bedrock of everything we do with our campus ministry. Then the second step is learn what it takes to become an RSO. That stands for Registered Student Organization. Every campus has different requirements. Usually it means have somebody on the faculty who's willing to be your advisor. Basically, it means if you break the school's rule, they go to their faculty member and say, what is your group doing? So you have to have an advisor. Lord willing, we won't be breaking those rules, right? and then on top of that, they'd want a certain amount of students, usually around 5. They want a constitution, which we already have for you. So those are some of the things that they would ask for to be officially a student organization. Then you evaluate what you have. So you see the checklist, and you think, okay, well, I have a couple students on campus. I have someone who's willing to run it. We have a church, but I don't have a faculty advisor. All right, so as you evaluate what you have, that faculty advisor becomes one of your main prayer requests. Or some of you might have a faculty member at your church, and you have the person to run it, but you don't have students. And so, okay, that will be the matter we pray over then. And a suggestion we also give in that situation is it would go along with this next step, visit your campus. So you say, I don't know any students. Okay, but this is what you could do. Find one of the most popular spots on campus. Maybe it's a coffee shop. Maybe it's a main area. You go there, and for maybe 2 to 3 hours of your sermon prep a week, you sit in that spot. And you do that once a week or twice a week, And the more you're there, it's kind of funny, when any of us are older than the college students, they're going to look at you like, why are you here? It's like, oh, well, I'm actually just a pastor from the area, and I just want to be a blessing to campus, so I spend some time here every week. And then as that student gets in the throes of their semester, and they keep walking by, and they're having a bad week, they think, there is that pastor over there. I know he's going to be there on Monday. He's usually sitting there. And they might come by and ask you for the reason that you have the hope in you that you have. And so you make it a matter of prayer. You visit your campus. Maybe you even make a routine out of being there. And you just never know the doors that the Lord might open. And those are some of the great joys. So pray. Learn what it takes to become an RSO. Value what you have. Join us. Jump on in. We do even have some applications with us today, if anyone would like those. And that would be up to Brother Keith as our director and Pastor Sen to approve those. But if you'd like to join, we do have those, and join up with us, and we'd immediately go into the process of making you your own shared drive, researching your campus with you, and most likely we're going to get somebody out there to visit that campus with you and walk around and see what we can figure out, and even connect with other churches in your area, see if they have students too. You know, what's kind of cool, so we have Ryan and I here, right? Ryan's up at Ball State. I'm down here at IPUI. If we have a student from our church that goes up to Ball State, I don't want them to cave to the influences around them, but they're too far to come to church here. But I can reach out to Ryan, say, hey, Ryan, there are some students from our church on your campus. Can you reach out to them? Can you connect with them? And he would be glad to do that, right? So if you can't have your own kids that you care about with you, at least they could be at a campus with someone else that you know will lead them the same direction you want to lead them, so that someday they want to come back. And so those are some of the joys. I got to wrap up here. Complete the RSO process. And that's at the end here. So, do you guys have any questions as we wrap up? I know I just gave you a lot. Go ahead.
I have a question. So, regarding your church, you know, and of course you're dealing with students, do you have some kind of a temporary or, temporary membership for, you know, because you're trying to get them into the habit of joining churches too. And,
yeah.
Of course,
it's a good question.
Especially your leadership, your officers, I can understand.
Yeah.
If they were just students visiting, they're probably just going to come visit the church.
Yeah, right. That's a good question. We don't have an official student membership here. Honestly, some of our students have just joined as members. But if they're an officer, there's sometimes where, like in our singles group, they're given leadership opportunities. And if they choose to teach, then sometimes obviously we'll go through the normal steps of running background checks, things like that. So, for instance, one of those officers I just told you about, the one who came up to our baby and got all crazy about her and then walked away. And now she's an officer. She's actually going to be one of our junior camp counselors this summer. So
your officers are not necessarily members of your church.
Not necessarily. Some of them have gone to like-minded churches. We're pretty careful about it. Every once in a while, we'll take a little bit of a risk off an officer because we're going to have the chance to disciple them a lot. And it doesn't necessarily mean they have any bigger opportunities here yet. But those are the ones that we disciple the most. Go ahead.
One of the beauties here of the ministry and the focus of Cross Impact is that it's really local church-based. So if your church would establish, you know, that kind of organization and that kind of membership. So if you want to have your members actually be members or your officers be members or associate members, that's something your church could establish. It's really up to you.
Which could be an incentive for them if they want to be officers.
Right.
You could certainly include that in your own process.
They may be members in their home church.
Mm-hmm.
But, right. You know, or something like that. They may be attending Kansas State and they're from Colorado.
Right.
Yeah.
You could do an associate membership, or you could say, you know, officers, we'd like you to be in some form of member of the church too. That's up to the church. The church can. The church really has a lot of say about how the chapter goes.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I know when I was at Christian College, there was a lot of those kinds of membership where you join temporarily, but you don't forfeit your membership at your home church.
Right.
But, yeah, he's exactly right. It varies on what your church would like to do with that. That's a great question, though. Any others? Rodney, go ahead.
How often are you normally meeting? Is each chapter different? Like, are you meeting once a week? Are you meeting once a month?
That's a great question. Usually there's one main meeting a week. Ours is Thursday nights because most students don't have Friday classes, and so Thursday night feels like Friday night. Their weekend really starts during Friday. So we meet Thursday night with our students, and that's our big meeting where we have little bit more of a, it's still an informal preaching setting, but it is, you know, that's our most formal time where we'll, if we have effective musicians, we'll do music. If you don't, it's just better not to. and we'll have very focused prayer and time in the Word. So that's our main hub of the week. And usually I meet with the officers after that meeting to prepare us for the next week to see who's pursuing who, in discipleship that week. but then we have our power groups, which are small groups. So usually guys and girls groups. And that's dependent on what stage your chapter's in. If you have enough that you can do two power groups, one guys group, one girls group, then you do that and you try to schedule it at the best time for everybody. So there's those small, so basically there's the big one, there's the small groups, and then we do a lot of one-on-one. So like what I told you about earlier with Brittany, she met with this one girl consistently throughout the semester. We've also done the exchange study with people. That's a gospel Bible study where you sit down for 6 weeks with a student and do that. Also, if a student comes for the first time, we sit down at our officer meeting. We say, okay, officers, Ryan just came for the first time today. So Keith, would you like to meet with him for coffee sometime this week? Great. Then the second week you say, okay, Drew, Keith met with him last week. Drew, can you meet with Ryan this week? And by two or three weeks, if someone is not a part of the group, they have fought to not be a part of the group because we are pursuing them. So that's one of the most important parts of the week, I think, because as much investing as you and I can do in the lives of those students, the investment they put into each other is going to be what really gets them buy-in. So.
And then you'd want to add to that, you know, some kind of strong connection at your local church.
Yeah, of course.
Where they'd have a good solid Sunday school group, where you might have, after the service, families that take students to their homes, invite them to homes, so that you're also kind of building in a meeting on Sundays to connect them to church.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hospitality might be one of the biggest things you can do for a college student. They're away from a home. They're away from a normal family setting. The second you invite them into their home, it's like they've just escaped the whole academic stressful world they're in. And they see your fireplace in your home, and they sit down on your couch, and they have a piece of pizza, and they are happy people. it's huge influence. Yeah.